Track 5, The Elements of Trust, Step Number 3, Commonality.
We've lowered sales resistance 20 degrees so far through our trust-building steps of propriety and intention. Combined, they shouldn't have taken more than a few minutes. The last three steps to increasing trust, which reduce sales resistance another 30 degrees, are next. To help you remember them, we will identify them from here on as simply the three C's. And oh, they are so critical in this process. Athletes, the really professional ones anyway, always warm up prior to a game, match, or performance. They'll stretch, hop, skip, jump, and run through a few paces to get limber and loose for the upcoming event. Salespeople should run through a few paces with their potential clients and customers just before the big event, too. Anyone who's been in sales for any length of time knows the value of this warm-up. And with our thermometer analogy, the warming up has just the opposite effect. It cools down their resistance to being sold. Of course, you don't have to make a friend to make a sale, but making an enemy won't move you any closer to that salesperson of the month award either. The first C is commonality. As I've repeatedly said, people buy from people they like and trust. What do we like about others? Usually it's something we have in common. Finding common ground is an essential part of every salesperson's presentation. You can find common ground with anybody, anytime, and any place if you'll just look hard enough. If nothing else, you and your client are both human, right? During some of history's most tragic wars, even bitter enemies found common ground. Here's one famous example. During one of the most brutal battles of World War I, the fighting stopped one evening. It happened to be Christmas Eve. One side heard a Christmas carol floating on the cold air across the contested ground. The language was different, but everyone knew the tune, and soon both sides were singing. Before the evening was over, the men emerged from their muddy trenches, met in no man's land, and exchanged greetings and even humble Christmas presents with their enemies. If battle-hardened men, who were in the midst of trying to conquer each other's territory, can find common ground in no man's land, then certainly we salespeople can do the same thing on the showroom floor, at the executive desk, or the dining room table. Finding that common ground is what step 3 in our trust-building element is all about. During this early segment of the sales process, you should search for areas of interest you share with this new person you've just met, your future client. The supply of topics is limitless. For example, family, the weather, sports, hobbies, or current events are natural choices in consumer sales. If you're in business-to-business sales, you can always ask those same questions, as well as questions about their company, products, or their industry. Because of the potential for highly charged emotions, I recommend that you always avoid seeking commonality in two areas, religion and politics, unless that's how you and your prospect met. For some people, there is just no common ground in these subjects. You either agree 100%, with their view, or you create a potential minefield of lost opportunity. Those are battles you should choose not to fight because you just can't win them. In those rare cases where you just can't seem to find commonality, create some. Humor is an excellent tool for this purpose. Don't be afraid to use a light-hearted approach, even if your customer is showing a good bit of tension. In fact, especially if your customer is showing a good bit of tension. Here's an easy going icebreaker for a visit with a couple. John and Mary, I'm curious, how did you two meet? Sometimes just the question itself will start a thaw. The answer to that question, for example, is almost always a humorous one. He might say, oh, I picked her up in a bar, ha ha. This would probably be quickly followed by her reply of, you did not, and a mild poke on the shoulder. Or the woman might say, oh, he showed up at the back door and Mom just said I could keep him. Without realizing it, the customer has helped you break the ice and start the warm-up. For example, the how did you meet question often leads to brief comments about their dating and courtship. That friendly chatter usually brings up all kinds of warm feelings. The comfort level between salesperson and prospect grows right along with those feelings. They open up a part of their lives because you make the effort to find or build commonality. Your customer opens up personal turf that few other salespeople ever see. With very little effort, you're suddenly a friend of the family. Now, in a business situation, you could ask, how did you get started with the company? Your potential client could be new to the firm, or they could have worked their way up to the purchasing department from a mailroom position. Most people enjoy talking about themselves and their accomplishments. The more they talk, the more potential you have for finding commonality. Never forget, customers want to like you. They want to trust you. Do your part, and they'll always do theirs to meet you halfway. When trust builds, sales resistance crumbles. One of the most important things to remember during this early stage is to avoid asking sales questions too soon. Let me repeat that. Avoid asking sales questions too soon. I've seen inexperienced salespeople virtually attack a customer with sales questions the moment they enter the room. They come on so strong, the potential customer often backs away, all the way out the door. So many good sales have been blown to pieces before they ever had a chance to develop because the salesperson failed to develop commonality. Think initially in terms of social and not sales situations. What type of conversation would you initiate at your friendly neighborhood sports pub, the church social, or in that shared cab ride from the airport? A few good examples are you from around here? Gee, that's an exquisite brooch. Is it an heirloom? Did you catch the game last night? You see, a good way to open a conversation with executive-level people who are more likely to want to get down to business would be to make general requests, such as, isn't the pace of business today amazing? Tell me a bit about how your company has developed. How long have you been with the company? The key is to ask a question that will get your customers talking. At that point, you're not trying to close a sale yet. You're still working toward it, though, by initiating a relationship. Listen to their answers and build your next question on those answers. That's all it takes to develop a comfy warm-up. At my seminars, I teach a method called piggybacking to help my students understand and practice this strategy. I will give them an opening line and a sample question based on that line. Then the students role play with a partner to see how many good questions they can come up with to answers provided by the other person. It's not just a matter of asking questions, though. Appropriate comments or acknowledgement needs to be given to the answers provided. You might interject a phrase such as, "That's interesting, Jim." Then move on to your next question about that answer. Or you might state something you know about the topic in their answer. Then move to your next question. The key is to truly listen to their answers, then to ask intelligent questions that either build rapport, establish commonality, or move smoothly toward the next stage of the presentation. Have you ever met a stranger, become engaged in a conversation, and then discovered that somehow a significant amount of time had passed unnoticed? Sure, we all have. What happened was a bonding process in which two people found a common interest. The conversation and budding relationship quickly, easily, and naturally flowed out of that bond. People often say, you know, it feels like I've known you all my life after such a conversation, regardless of how brief. Well, ask yourself, how does that happen? Well, in sales it happens because the salesperson made it happen. The first step is to find a subject in which the other person is interested. Don't assume, though, that just because you discover an area of particular interest, skill, or knowledge, that it's a subject they want to discuss. After all, the greatest chef in the world may just not want to get into the niceties of making sausage. Look for something they do want to talk about. For example, our chef may be the world's worst player on the golf course, but also an avid fan. As a salesperson, you'll do much better if you encourage a conversation about golf links rather than the food variety. If you're familiar with the subject of golf, for example, then you've made a connection. Proceed. If you don't know the difference between a tee or a green and green tea, you'd better move on. Don't try to fake it. The customer will see right through it, and you'll drive your chances of building common ground right into a self-made sand trap. Just keep politely and warmly asking more questions on more topics. At some point, you and the prospect will share a common interest. There is an excellent alternative to faking it, though. If your customer seems really interested in a topic that you're totally unfamiliar with, go for it. Admit your lack of knowledge and start asking questions to learn about the topic from him or her. Get him or her talking up a storm about that fascinating subject. As long as you are sincere, the other person will be flattered by your attention. Conversation flows and commonality is established. In fact, learning something new is one of the real benefits of earning a living in sales. Every day there's something different. How many occupations can boast that perk? Here's the beauty of this situation. If your potential clients are reasonable persons, all the time invested in talking about themselves and their interests creates an obligation on their part to listen to you when it's time to make your presentation. Human beings are wonderful that way. Respect and interest earns respect and interest. Now, here are a few subjects to give you an idea of how building common ground can begin. To get them talking about their jobs, say any of the following. Tell me a bit about your job. Or tell me what you do for a living. Or what's your occupation? Or what do you like most or least about your work? Or how long have you been doing this? Or what's the most interesting part of your job? Or what gives you the greatest amount of satisfaction at work? Now, don't try to ask all of these questions. You're not Larry King doing an interview. You just want to get the communication flowing. If your particular situation makes it appropriate to talk about children, here are some child-related questions to try. Do you have any children? What are their names? How old are they? I bet you're proud of him or her or them. What interests are they developing? What do they do for fun? If you feel the need to warm up with family-related questions, try these. Are you married? Now, as a caution here, only ask if they're married if the answer is pertinent to the sale of your product or service. Don't risk offending a couple living together. Their morals are not your business. Serving their needs is. Other family-related questions include, have you been married long? Did you go on a honeymoon? Oh, where? Where do you folks live? Where do you work? What do you folks do for recreation? Do you share any hobbies? At times, you may want to ask location-related questions such as, are you from around here? Or a good question for salespeople in my home state of Arizona or other states where large numbers of people are moving in is, where are you from? Or what do you like most about living in your town? Have you traveled much? If you've traveled to a new area to meet with a potential client, consider asking, what is the most fun thing to do in your area? Or, what three things would you recommend to do in the area? All of the information generated by these questions isn't gathered just to be discarded. It is helping you to establish commonality and will prove valuable later when it comes time to cover your customers' needs. You want to be friendly and to encourage the other person to be friendly. Don't treat these questions as a checklist. Your goal is conversation, not conquest. Also, avoid the trap of droning on about any given subject. Getting overly involved in the topic of conversation will cut out valuable time you'll need for getting down to business and making your presentation. Just find the commonality. Establish it. Make sure your customer is comfortable with it, and at the appropriate moment, move on.